This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message entitled God's Rumble Strips was delivered on September 13th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Scott. That's my twin. We get the same names. But he's better looking than me. And he's taller. And he fishes better. What else? Yeah, whoo! We have been having some beautiful weather, yeah? Anybody's water tank needs filling? No, we're all good. Happy birthday, Malia. 18 again. And congratulations, because she got baptized. Yeah! Right on. Hey, Matt, Friday, we've been watching a lot of the documentaries on 9/11, and it's been 19 years since those attacks. And, you know, it's like you just look at how life has changed. Yeah, and so it's, you see, when we share of these stories, you can really see the real life heroes who actually gave their lives to save others. And, you know, the Bible talks about greater love has no one than this, than one laid down his life for his friends. Some of these guys laid down their lives for people they don't even know. And, you know, hopefully we learn from these things. You know, I was mulling around with the title, and I didn't know what to title today's message, so I titled it God's Rumble Strips. Have you ever been driving on the road and you kind of nodded off? You know, you're driving, and then you hit the rumble strip, grunk, 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 and you're like, whoa, wake up. And it's like, or maybe you was drunk. Well, I better not look that way. Have you ever hit those rumble strips? And it kind of like wakes you up. Sometimes they got the rumble strips on the shoulder, and sometimes they got them in the center. And, you know, you're driving, maybe, you know, you were driving and you fell asleep, you hit those rumble strips, and oh, it kind of got your attention. You woke up only for it to happen to you again. Maybe some of you are driving and texting, yeah, and you hit those strips, and I see you guys pointing to your spouses and elbowing each other, or maybe you're eating your Big Mac and man, it just spilled on your lap. And then you drop the French fry and you just gotta get it. And then you're kind of driving and you're looking for your French fry, and then you hit the rumble strip and you're like, you pay attention. And you know, for a moment you drift out of your lane, you hit the rumble strip, and it caused you to forget that French fry, forget that text message, forget that cell phone, and wait until it was safe to go do those things. But think for a moment, okay, what if that rumble strip, what if it wasn't there? Would I end up in a head-on accident? Would I end up upside down in a ditch? Would I end up, you know, hitting a guardrail? You know, I believe that God often puts rumble strips in our lives to do a couple of things, and to keep us on the right path, to get our attention. And you and I all have these in our lives at one time or another. And you might be thinking of them now. You're thinking like, was that one of God's rumble strips that he was trying to get my attention? Did I respond to it in the right way according to God's will, or did I ignore it? You know, I think as a nation, as a state, as a person, God had us hit many rumble strips. You know, beginning way back at 9/11 in 2001, it was a day in our history that changed our country forever. The way we travel, the way we go through the airports, and you know, the way we look out for things. You know, on that morning, American Airlines Boeing 767 Flight 11 collided into the World Trade Center, the North Tower in New York City, and that immediately killed hundreds of thousands of people, trapping hundreds more in that. Imagine you being on the top of that 110-story building. You know, people were jumping to their death to escape that. And then 18 minutes later, United Flight 175 flew into the South Tower. Now, both of these towers were burning. If you remember, you were probably watching the news on TV. I know I was watching the news on TV because Laurie Brisky called me early in the morning, and she was like in a panic on the phone telling me what was going on. So I was just on my normal routine getting ready for work. And then I turned on the TV only to see the two towers smoking. And then later on, American Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. And then later on, United Flight 93 crashed into the field in Pennsylvania. You know, so many things changed that morning. Families were torn apart, a nation stunned by the actions of these terrorists. And for a moment, have you ever thought that God might have been trying to get our attention? Maybe God was trying to give us a wake-up call to repent. And it seems like for a little while after the attacks on 9/11, we woke up, we paid attention for a little while. Just like when you're driving, you fall asleep, you hit that rumble strip, you wake up for a little while, only to fall asleep again and hit it again. You know, it seems like the Old Testament all over again. God sent many prophets to the nation of Israel, and they treated these prophets harshly. They did not listen. They did not repent. Some of the prophets got beat up. A lot of them got killed. Then God sent the Babylonians to take Israel captive. See, he was probably trying to get their attention for so many years, and a lot of the things that he was doing just simply wasn't working. So he allowed this evil empire to take them captive, his very own people captive, and captive for 70 years. Anybody over here over 70 years old? Only me. Sometimes I feel 70 years. Okay? A whole generation would not see their homeland again. It took that to get their attention. Think about it. Maybe the people who are maybe under 20 or maybe 15, if they were that age, maybe they would have returned back to their homeland. But for most of us, unless we live to like 150, we ain't going to live through that 70 year of captivity. But God's people just didn't listen to the prophets. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet. But they kept worshiping idols. They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to get out of their evil ways. So what did God, after all these rumble strips wasn't working, God sent the big one. Captivity. 70 years. 70 years. I got a few more to get to there, but 70 years, you think, it's like, these people were not going to see home again. And that's where Jeremiah 24:7 comes in. This is the result of their 70 years in captivity would come to. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. This was like the big rumble strip that they hit. And there, some of them, sorry, but they wouldn't survive. But those who did, when they got back to their hometown, they was going to return to God with their whole heart. You know, here on the Big Island, we probably had a bunch of rumble strips we came across. We had the lava flow. That surely was a wake-up call, especially if you live out this side. You know, every evening, I would be driving home, and it would be like the sun was rising. At 8 o'clock at night, you don't normally see an orange glow coming from the horizon at 8 o'clock in the night on the east side. And, you know, if you lived out this side, you thought no place would have been safe, especially when it just popped up in the middle of a subdivision. And then, not only that, before that, we had Hurricane Isaias in 2014, which did a lot of damage. We were out of power for maybe about a week, and that I was one of the blessed ones who only had it out for about a week. Some people had it out for longer than that, and when I got up that morning, I looked around my lot and I said, well, nothing happened. And there was one small top of an ohia tree in my yard. And I think like, wow, nothing happened until I drove down the street. Then I seen the destruction. I seen trees, big trees down. I seen roads completely blocked. I seen power lines on the ground. And I was like, wow, this was real. And I think that was another one of those rumble strips that God was saying, come on, guys. Come on, Big Island. Wake up. And, you know, you look at what's going on in the mainland, on the West Coast, all these fires, and you think, man, God is really trying to get our attention. You ever had to grab somebody by the shoulders and shake them to get their attention? Like, yeah, hopefully not the shaking child syndrome, but, you know, maybe an adult. Yeah? Or maybe you had to pull somebody's ear. Like, you know, listen to me, pull your ear. That's why my earlobes are a little bit longer, because I didn't listen in school. And I always got that, listen up. You know, we've been having all these things happen. And yes, I believe they are from the devil. And God wants to use this to get our attention. Now, if these rumble strips doesn't wake us up and cause us to repent and to turn to God with a whole heart, not half heart, not just enough to make the pain go away. You know what I mean, right? Just enough to make everything seem better. But if this doesn't wake us up and cause us to repent, what do you think would be next? I mean, I hate to go there. But you think, if COVID-19 doesn't get our attention, if a volcano popping up in a subdivision in Pune doesn't get your attention, if a hurricane doesn't get your attention, what do you think is going to happen that maybe God needs to do to get our attention? And, you know, I mean, just, I don't want to even go there, but, you know, we have to think, okay, if we don't repent, if we don't turn to God, he's going to, because he loves us, okay, this is, if he didn't love us, if God didn't love us, he would just let us all go to hell. No, get your attention, nothing. It's just like you're walking towards a cliff, and nobody's going to warn you, and you're just going to walk off. Kaput, gone. Yeah. But think about it. You know, if none of these doesn't cause us to repent, what will? If you have your Bibles, you can open it up to 2 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. is by King Samuel and Chronicles, or Chronicles, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. It's somewhere in there. Second Chronicles. It summarizes the book of Kings and Samuel. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And you've probably been hearing a lot of this lately in the last few months. Second Chronicles 7, verses 12 to 14. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence. Now, pestilence can be an epidemic of a highly contagious or infectious disease, such as like a bubonic plague or a COVID-19. Now, if I send pestilence among my people, and my people, that's us, who are called by my name, Christians, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. You know, I think we all know that America was founded on Christian values. And since we have turned astray, we have worshiped other things, we have taken God out of many places, we have allowed people to take down crosses, take down Ten Commandments, all over the place. And I think it's time that we actually seek God and ask Him to heal our land. Solomon, here, he asked God to make provisions for the people when they sin. And God answered with four conditions for forgiveness, right? The first one was humble yourself by admitting your sins. We all need to humble ourselves. Pray to God, asking for forgiveness. Seek God continually, not just when we have problems. And, you know, not when things are going really, really good. Because when we're on the mountaintop and things are really, really good, we tend to not seek God. And then turn from sinful behavior. See, when we repent, and true repentance is more than talk, more than saying, I repent. True repentance is changed behavior. Whether we sin individually, as a group, or as a nation, we need to follow these steps that would lead to forgiveness. God will answer our earnest prayers. Since this pandemic started back in February, March, how many of you have gotten on your knees and prayed? Really, just gotten on your knees and prayed. You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. How many of you actually got on your knees and prayed? Said, Lord, you know, please, I humble myself before you. Ask that you would forgive our nation for our wickedness. How many of you got on your knees to seek God continually and to turn from our sinful behavior? How many of you got on your knees and prayed for our government leaders to be humble, to pray, to seek God, to turn? You know, how many of you got, think about how many of you did actually get on your knees and pray? Did you have to wait till you knew of someone close enough to you who got COVID-19? Then you got on your knees and prayed. You might be thinking, well, I am one person. What can one person do? One person can do a lot. Here's the point, the one and only point. You need to be a catalyst, somebody or something that makes a change happen or brings about an event. We need to be catalysts that brings everything together to make a change. You might have heard the story about the carrot, the egg, and the coffee. You know, each of these three objects face the same adversity, boiling water. But each one reacted very differently. The carrot. You ever had a raw carrot? You could knock somebody on the head with that, and it'll hurt. The carrot went in the boiling water hard and strong, unrelenting. But after being subjected to the boiling water, how many of you hate eating boiled carrots because they're soft and they're mushy? The carrot went in hard, came out soft and mushy, came weak. The egg, fragile. The outer shell protected that liquid interior. But after sitting in the boiling water, its inside became hardened. You know, like when you face adversity and your heart gets hard. The coffee went in the boiling water and it changed the water. How many of you like drinking coffee in the morning? That's what the coffee did to the water. Which one are you? When adversity knocks at your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you coffee? Think about it. I like to put it in these terms. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Now, you put a thermometer in this room, it'll measure and it'll become like the temperature in here. If it's like right here up on stage, it's like 102 degrees, right? So if you put a thermometer up here, it'll read that. It'll conform. Or are you a thermostat? You ever go into the hotel room? First thing you do is you go to that thermostat, turn it all the way down to 67 degrees. And what does it do? It changes the room. Only for your spouse to get up in the middle of the night and put it back to 82. Right? That happened. And then somebody else gets up, put it back to 67. When you walk into your workplace and it seems like everybody woke up on the wrong side of the bed and they're grouchy, do you become grouchy too? Or are you the thermostat? Hey, good morning, everyone. Oh, I woke up this morning and the first thing had dog poop in my shoe. Right? We know how that works. I woke up this morning, there was no hot water. You know, I woke up this morning and my car didn't start. So by the time you get to your workplace, you just had a rot in there already. But you walk in, you sense that. Are you going to like conform to that? Are you going to be the thermometer? Are you going to be the thermostat? Who changes, the catalyst, who changes the environment? Here's the thing. You know, God is trying to get our attention. And he probably got our attention. But how can we pray in such a way that he can get the attention of this nation, of this state, of our communities? Here's what I want you to get out of today's message. Can you commit to pray for our country, our leaders, our people, even those who are rioting? Can you commit to pray for our first responders, our doctors, our nurses? Pray, pray that we would do those four things written in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And not just pray, but can you actually take 1-2 minutes and get on your knees and pray? Don't wait for another wake-up call. Don't wait for another rumble strip to come our way. Don't wait for a civil war to happen in our country, on our soil. Don't wait for another attack to get on your knees. What will it take to get this nation back to God? It would take for us to make changes in our lifestyle. What would we need to do to reap a favorable future? You know, sometimes God allows a heart attack to happen or diabetes to happen to change stuff in our lives. We cannot wait for these things to happen to make changes. There was a point in my life that I told myself, I'm going to start to eat right and exercise before the doctor tells me I need to eat right, exercise, and before he puts me on medication. And the day that I decided to do that, it was too late, because the doctor already told me I need to eat right, exercise, and he put me on medication. He put me on medications for cholesterol and for sugar. And those were my rumble strips. But did I change my diet? Did I start exercising? Honestly, no. So what is it going to take? I hate for my foot to get amputated. Then I'm going to say, oh, I need to exercise. Well, I cannot because I don't have a foot. I did lose the weight that he told me to. Not on purpose. Right? It took the cancer to get me down to the ideal weight according to the chart in the doctor's office. I am eating a little better, but thanks to men's ministry yesterday, they left me with 4 donuts. And they left a box here with me. And I couldn't waste it, I had to take it home. And my wife doesn't eat donuts. So guess what happened? Yes. So now, the cancer has come and gone. I still didn't start a regular exercise routine. I eat a little bit healthier, but I don't want to wait for another traumatic event to get me to change. I need to start now. So if anybody wants to help me or chase me for 2 miles, I will let you chase me, or maybe you put a donut on a stick and drive the car in front of me. I would chase the donut on a stick for 2 miles just so that I can exercise. We need to pay attention to these rumble strips that God puts in our lives, because maybe, just maybe, God is trying to get our attention to guide us, our family, our country, our state, our nation, back into a right relationship with God. We may have been coming to church for years, but missing the relationship with God. Man, I would love for you to connect with God in such a way that you become Christ-like day by day by day by day. Every day you're slowly being renewed, being transformed into his image. Because I hate for you to get to heaven and find out you missed so much because we didn't teach you how. So pay attention. You may be running over a rumble strip right now in your life. Think about it, and God is trying to get you to say, okay, I need to do this. God is trying to get my attention. Shaking you up. Maybe it's, first of all, it's like just a tap on the shoulder. When that tap doesn't work, becomes a slap in the back of the head. slap in the back of the head doesn't work, broken arm or heart disease, diabetes, something. He's trying to get your attention. Come to me, he's saying. Come, I want to give you the health, the rest. I want to give you this abundant life. Whatever it is, whatever it is, listen. Amen? Let's pray. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe somebody's out there who you're on a rumble strip right now, but you don't know how to turn to God. You never turn to God. Maybe you want to turn to God. I'm going to give you a chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to be the Lord in your life. For those of you out there, wherever this message may go to the ends of the earth, God willing, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If anybody here, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, anybody here, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? Yeah. Lord, thank you so much. And for those of you out there who had received Jesus, man, just get in touch with us if you want to. Or find a Bible teaching church close by and let them know what you did. Lord, we thank you so much. And I pray that this morning you have gotten our attention and we will turn to you. We will humble ourselves. We will seek you. We would pray to you. We would ask for forgiveness. We would repent. That you would be real in our lives. And we would work purposefully on this relationship we have with you. We thank you so much, Lord. For you love us so much that you really want to get our attention. And that is love. We thank you so much that you love us so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys ready to sing? We're going to sing.
Your favorite song.
My favorite song. And not just words now. You go out and you be the salt and light to this dying world.
Salty coffee.
All right. Let's stand.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea'au, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.